Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be learning Divrei Yamim Beis Perek Chaf Beis, the 22nd chapter of the second book of Divrei Yamim. The topic of our perek is Ahaziyahu's short reign, and it is a perek of only 12 psukim long. A parallel parashiyot can be found in Nach in Melachim Beis Perek Tes and Perek Yud Aleph. This perek is really essentially a summary of the events in Sefer Melachim. However, the longer story is to be found in Melachim. The reason why it's shorter over here is because we're only focusing on the intersection of those stories of the north and the south with the southern kingdom. So we're focusing on the south, but most of the story is to be found there in Sefer Melachim, which is focusing on both kingdoms. Let's take a look at the first few psukim as the story begins. We hear about the inhabitants of Yerushalayim appointing Ahaziyahu, the youngest son of Yehoram, to be the king over Yerushalayim. Just to clarify, he's called Yehoahaz in the previous perek, but it's the same person, Ahaziyahu, and he is placed as king. He's the last remaining son after Yehoram dies of a terrible disease and his kingdom is vanquished by enemies. And we hear that the pasuk says, Ben Arbaim Ushtaim Shana Ahaziyah B'malcha, he is 42 years old and he ruled for only 1 year. His name of his mother is Ataliyahu, the daughter of Omri, so a direct line from the Ahav kingdom. And he went in the ways of Ahav because his mother gave him bad advice and his advisors gave him bad advice after his father's death. So just a few points to notice over here. Yehoram, his father, died at the young age of 40. It seems rather unlikely, therefore, that he has a son who's 42 years old, who's the youngest son. So Chazal already addressed this and say no. He was 22 at the age when he became king, so his father had him at the age of 18. So he is ultimately only 22, as is described in Sefer Melachim Aleph, in Melachim Beis. However, the 40 over here is measuring against the timeline of Ahav. Why are we measuring against the timeline of Ahav, even though Ahav has already been killed? So the reason is because the curse of the house of Ahav is what is being measured over here, and he is part of that curse. The Malbim says that's Zu Derech Drash. He says this is homiletical. To understand the Pshat, he suggests reading Pasuk Beis slightly differently, where he says the idea of Ben Arbaim is the idea of 40 is not referring to Ahaziyahu, the son, it's referring to the father. That's when his father was 40, that's when Shtaim Shana Ahaziyahu b'malchav, Shana Achas Malach b'Yerushalayim. He was essentially ruled for 2 or 1 years because he was really the king during the year of sickness of his father Yehoram, and then the 1 year past that. And that's what's being referred to. He really is 22 years old when his father was 40 years old and ruled for 2/1 year, depending on the pre or past the sickness of his father. It's interesting to notice that he is surrounded by ill advisors. The Malbim points out that both in his nature and his nurture, his mother and in his nurture, which is his advisors, and the environment he grows up in, are the negative environment of the house of Ahav, which gives him a very difficult start as well. Ultimately, we hear about the next few psukim hey to Zion, the ill-fated war of the north, where he listens to his advisors and goes up to join forces with Yehoram of the north. His father was Yehoram, but that was the son of Yehoshaphat. But then there's Yehoram, the son of Ahav in the north. So they are essentially cousins with the same name. Yehoram is still the king in the north. He's fighting against Hazael, the king of Aram. The new king of Aram. He was coronated by Eliyahu to be one of the forces of retribution, Hazael. And ultimately, Yehoram of the north is in fact struck by the Armenians, and what happens is Ahaziyahu, this young king, goes with him in battle and goes to visit him afterwards as he is licking his wounds because he's sick from the wounds of battle. But all of this was Melo Kim Hosa. This was from ultimately Hashem because he wanted to bring the curse of Yerovam of Ahav onto all of the family of Ahav, that Yehu would be the one to kill him. So just a little bit of background over here. What that means to say is that like his grandfather made an alliance with the north, so Yehoshaphat joined Ahav and later on joined Yehoram, he himself, this young Ahaziah, his grandson, is also trying to do the same thing, but it was ill-advised, and ultimately is going to lead to his downfall. The Malbim points out that he did have bad advice, but in the end of the day, he is held responsible because he should have learned from history that when his grandfather Yehoshua joined, it didn't go well, so he should have learned the lessons from that as well. Ultimately, he is subsumed in the fate of the house of Ahab, and that's because his mother, Ataliah, is from the house of Ahab. So ultimately, he is part of the fate of the curse of destruction which was placed upon the house of Ahab. We now hear about this individual called Yehu from Sukkim Ches to Tes. A lot more is details given to him in Melachim Bey's Prokim Tes and Yud. Yehu is appointed also by Eliyahu as a force of retribution to kill the king of the north, to destroy the family of Ahab, and that is what he does. Yehu ki shofet Yehu es beis Ahab, so he is judging the house of Ahab. It wasn't just a rebellion, this was a force of justice and retribution. Is what he did was he killed the king of the north, and then he pursued the officers and the king of the south. So he killed the brothers of Ahaziah, and then in pursuit, Ahaziah runs to Shomron, but is found, brought out by Yehu, and is killed right there. So Yehu kills the king of the north and the king of the south in one day, and they did ultimately bury him. Ki amru ben Yoshavatu asher darashas Hashem b'chol levavoy. They bury him in a stately way because he is the grandson of a tzaddik, of a great king. However, the pasuk notes at the end, ve'ein lebeis Ahaziah la'atzor koyach la'mamlacha. Now there is no continuation for the house of Ahab, for the house of Ahaziah. Why is that? Well, his brothers have been killed, and his the people who came in from Ethiopia and the Arabs who came in first, and now the remaining brothers are killed by Yehu. So there's not much left to establish the kingdom, which leads us into the last very tragic section of this perek, Pesukim Yud to Yud Beis. A lot's packed in here. Ataliyahu is the mother of Ahaziah. So she sees what this is. She brings and she speaks to all the children who are remaining to Ahaziah, all the remaining parts of the family. And we're told that Yehoshbaas, who is the Bas HaMelech, so she takes, this is the princess, takes Yoash, one of the young children of Ahaziah, and removes him to the Cheder Amitos, to the bedroom, and she hides him from the queen, because Ataliyahu becomes the queen for 6 years, and she's not able to kill this young boy, this Yoash. What's really going on here? So for a fuller, engaged version, one needs to go to Melachim Bey's Perek Yud Aleph to understand what's going on over here, and that is that Ataliyahu, seeing what happens, murders the rest of the family, meaning the rest of her grandchildren, essentially. She kills everybody remaining, so there is no Yoresh Etzer, there's no one who's going to be taking over the throne, and she coronates herself, which is remarkable. What in the world is going on here? How could she kill her own family? So Rashi explains, first of all, that the murder was done by poisoning, so that's from the Diokin Psukim in Melachim. In fact, David HaMelech composes Mizmor Yud Beis, the 12th psalm in the book of Tehillim, based on this episode. That's Lamanatzeach HaShminis. That this is on the 8th generation, because 8 generations from Shlomo, this is when the kingship of David is almost wiped out, and that's why he calls out Hoshi Hashem ki gomar chosid, please Hashem save, because almost all those who are righteous have been wiped out. This is what's being described over here. Why in the world was she doing this? So it seems that on the one hand, the Ralbag points out this is part of Hashem's plan to get rid of the rest of the house of Ahab, and really essentially everybody over here is from the house of Ahab, because she is from the house of Ahab herself. However, that's what Hashem's plan was, what was driving her. So it could be the drive for power. Remember, Ataliyahu was married to Yehoram, and Yehoram was the one who killed all his own brothers for the throne. It seems that that sort of bloodthirsty blindness or search for power seems to pervade even the way that he sees things as well. It's a zero-sum game, and that's what she continues to do. It could be that she's trying to save Yerushalayim from any connection with Yehu, meaning to say she feels that there might be people jockeying for power with Yehu in the north now, and she wants to remove any threats who might cooperate with him. But in the end of the day, It could be also seeking spiritual revenge for the revolution which Yehu was facilitating in this way as well. Just a very sad and very tragic moment in our history. Ultimately, she takes this young boy, the son of Ahaziah, who is taken to the Cheder Amitos. What is that referring to? So the Malbim says it's to the hospital for recovery from poisoning. But the Radak says it refers to antechambers of the Levim and the Kohanim, a sacred place. And Rashi quotes Chazal, says that it was actually referring to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, a room above the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The base of Midrash was 30 amos high, but the Kodesh HaKadoshim was only 20 by 20 by 20, which means that there was a room above it. In that room was where he was saved, and that's what it refers to in Tehillim Chof Zayin, in L'David Hashem Ori, when it talks about Kitz Ben B'sukah B'yom Ra'ah, Hashem hid me away in his sanctuary on a bad day. It's referring prophetically to his great-great-great-great-grandson, who's going to be hid in the Hashem's place, ultimately to be escape this terrible massacre. This closes our parak. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.